4438.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. And as I commented on one of our previous programs, but you may not have heard it, everybody's upset because the Scottish government has released the Libyan man who was accused of actually of being responsible for the Lockerbie bombing. And, of course, there were actually two people, two Libyans on trial. The trial heard all of the evidence, and they totally exonerated one gentleman, and they sent the other gentleman to prison, but not to the death penalty, for murdering all those people. And do you know why that was? Because they didn't do it. I mean, it was a Syrian operation. Everybody knew it was a Syrian operation. But you see, there's a timetable to take action against Syria, and that wasn't the time. Certainly, our government, our intelligence agencies knew that the Iranians were behind the bombing of the American embassy in Beirut in 1983 and behind the bombing of the Marine barracks that killed over 240 Marines in Beirut in 1983. And they knew at least the bombing of the embassy was coming. They did nothing to stop it. They must have suspected what was going to happen to the Marines. They did nothing to stop it. Why? Because behind everything going on, there are powerful spiritual forces. There is a timetable. And today is the time when we're going to take action against Iran. It was not time. At that time, back in 1983, or at the time of the Lockerbie bombing, we could not let the common people in America understand that the elite have a timetable. They have a plan. They're following that plan very specifically. And that's the reason they let this mass murderer who killed 103 people go, because the people in Scotland understood, the Scots authorities realized he really didn't do it. And after all, he was dying of cancer. We might as well let him go. Once you begin to understand this sort of thing, so many of the things that go on really begin to make sense. Well, with us today is Chris Emery. We're going to be talking about the Oklahoma City bombing. But you see, if you go back and the government set out, to create a series of incidents to inflame the people. First of all, they killed Randy Weaver's wife and son. And, of course, Weaver told he was a terrible guy and it was justified. When the jury heard the case, they exonerated Randy Weaver, and the government had to end up paying him a lot of money. The family, a great deal of money, because they murdered his wife and son in cold blood. And then, of course, nobody was ever held responsible. Nobody, no government official ever went to prison. The sniper, Lon Horiuchi, is living, certainly, in a witness protection program because he murdered a woman. He was just following government orders. It wasn't his fault. He was just doing what he was told to do. And then, of course, we had Waco, and, of course, I talked to Sarah Bain, who headed the jury there for the Waco, and she told me that the wrong people were on trial. They wanted to exonerate the Davidians, but the judge wouldn't let them. They felt the government was responsible, and, of course, now we know that a special forces team was sent in, and if you haven't seen the DVD, Waco, A New Revelation, we have it. That's Waco, A New Revelation. We'll actually hear testimony and talk by people who knew the people in the special forces that went in and killed the Davidians, but, of course, they haven't been heard from. My understanding is that they were actually sent then off to Somalia, and we had something that never made any sense in Somalia. It was called Black House, Black Hawk Down. You remember when we supposedly sent our forces in, and they were trapped there, and they were all going to be killed, and a lot of those were the special forces unit that went into Waco. At least this is what we've been told. You see, it doesn't really pay to carry out the government's instructions and to murder innocent people, because they have to get rid of you, because you might talk, and at least the story that's told is, and it explains why Black Hawk Down took place. And then, of course, we had the Oklahoma City bombing. And Timothy McVeigh had told his sister, and it's covered in a book called OK Bomb, OKC Bomb, as I recall, written by Jim Keith. He told his sister that he was actually working, Timothy McVeigh said he was working for a special forces team that was involved in illegal activity, and not too long after the book came out, why Jim Keith died under very mysterious circumstances. And then, well, that could have been a coincidence, but then his publisher died under very mysterious circumstances. And then his previous wife died under very mysterious circumstances. All very, very strange. And then Timothy McVeigh told a cellmate in the Colorado prison that he was working for a special forces unit when he blew up the Oklahoma City Murrah building. And, of course, there's a book out. It's called Secrets Worth Dying For. I think that's the title. I got it. I read it. And sure enough, this is what the man said. And then, of course, Timmy McVeigh told his partner, Terry Nichols, the same thing. And Terry Nichols has tried to get the information out, but it's been carefully suppressed. And then, of course, Timothy McVeigh said the only way he was ever going to get out of the maximum security prison was to be executed. And, of course, I'll never forget hearing a woman who attended the execution. She was on a program by Will Cooper, who did shortwave just like I do. And Will Cooper kept playing the interview with this woman who witnessed the execution, and she said, "Gee, I didn't know you kept breathing after you'd been executed. I didn't know you kept breathing after you'd been after you were dead." And he played this repeatedly over and over again. A couple of weeks later, a SWAT team came, and that was the end of William Cooper. Do these things really happen in America? Well, Chris Emery has been investigating the Oklahoma City bombing for a long time. Chris, thanks very much for being with us today.
It's an honor, Dr. Monteith, and we want to thank you for coming out to Oklahoma City a couple of weeks ago. A lot of your listeners may not be aware that you had graced our presence with your coming to the Freedom 21 conference, and we were very fortunate and honored to have you in studio here. If I may just give a quick plug for RadioFreeOklahoma.net, and a lot of the material that you were actually reviewing just in the last few minutes, we have more of an elaborate and detailed layout of some of the updates pertaining to a lot of those points on our website, under the links section of the website. So after listening to your show for 5 years, and I do have to say kudos to you, it was kind of surreal to have you here in studio to sit next to you, so it was quite an honor. So the honor is mine, sir.
Well, thank you so much, Chris. I'm just a guy who's trying to do something just like you are, and you're going to be around doing it when I'm not here. But I hope we give you a good foundation of what it's all about. But anyway, tell us what you and the group there in Oklahoma City have come up with about the bombing of the Murrah building and the murder of 168 people. And there was somebody actually whose body was in there that they never figured out who it was.
As a matter of fact, and I do want to mention that I have one of my co-hosts, Kay Beach. You and I had talked briefly about possibly covering some of the issues on the Oklahoma Fusion Center. She is the expert on that and attended the we were there this past Tuesday evening, so I'll have her chime in later in the conversation when you see fit. But pertaining to David Paul Hammer, who you mentioned in your lead-up to our interview here, coincidentally enough, there is some correspondence going on between some of our colleagues here and Mr. Hammer. He's actually writing a second book, a follow-up to the Secrets Worth Dying For book. And I have to say about 95% of the information in that book is actually solid. And Tim McVeigh, some of his claims we found out, we vetted it out and found out it was very credible. So kudos to Mr. Hammer. Ironically, he's from Oklahoma City, and to find the symbiotic trail all the way to the Terre Haute prison in death row is really kind of an odd circumstance, but he's really turned his life around and is trying to do the best he can to help out some of the victims, family members, and survivors.
So. Well, if it had just been one person that got this story, but three different sources, all from Timothy McVeigh, and the interesting thing is the media has never picked up on it other than people like you and me and a few others. So you pick up the story because I understand you have lots of exciting new information on what really happened that fateful day.
Sure. We've uncovered actually through the good graces of the local, the city, the county, the state, and some of the federal law enforcement agents have come forward over the years and actually given us bona fide documentation to show that, of course, there were at least 10, if not 12, individuals involved in the bombing. And that's not just hearsay or conjecture. That's based on fact. And it looks like we're coming up on break. We hear this on the other side.
We really are. And when we get, well, there's so much I really want to ask you about it, because we must never forget what happened there. The murderers are on the loose, and they're being covered up by people at the highest levels of our government. And certainly it ties into Elohim City, the Christian Identity Movement, the Aryan organizations, all funded by our own government. We'll be right back.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at berkeywater.com.
Are you one of the millions of sinus and allergy sufferers? Is your nose stuffed up? Do you experience sinus headaches, allergy symptoms, infections, or post-nasal drip? Does your treatment improve your body's disease-fighting function, or are you simply treating the symptoms? The Sinu Plus Elite Advanced Sinus Irrigation System effectively cleanses your sinuses and upper airwaves of all fungi, bacteria, and pathogens, and clears your sinuses gently and pleasantly. Recommended by leading physicians and healthcare professionals for sinus and allergy symptoms, the Sinu Plus Elite Advanced Sinus Irrigation System is a natural, very gentle, and soothing drug-free device to relieve symptoms caused by sinus infections, allergies, and the common cold, including post-nasal drip, cough, congestion, sinus headaches, and irritated nasal passages. SinuPulse is available now by calling 888-212-8871. That's 888-212-8871. Or order online at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com, your source for the most powerful nutraceuticals and wellness protocols from a doctor you can trust.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly our guest is today is going to be it's Chris Emery, and we're going to be talking about what's going on. Chris, before we let you go on, I want you to there's one thing I've been thinking about recently. There was a Sergeant Yakey, as I remember. He was a member of the police force, and he really believed that there was a conspiracy there. He was told not to investigate, but he investigated on his own. He died under very mysterious circumstances. Was it that he supposedly committed suicide by shooting himself in the back of the head? Was it one or two shots?
Actually, we found out through it was one shot, but it was execution style in the top right-hand fraction of the skull, and it exited in his lower left jaw. But we found out that he was also handcuffed and hogtied. So, but the position would have been completely impossible for him to have shot himself, and the condition of the skull, according to the law enforcement sources, they claim that he'd used his own firearm, which was completely false. If he did, there would have been very little left of his head. It was a clean exit, entrance wound and clean exit wound. I'm not going to go into really any detail on the – we're actually starting another investigation, the very first independent investigation on that. But you were correct. He did see basically unexploded ordnance the morning of the bombing and was very upset. This was during his rescue of eight survivors from the building, two of whom I've got to speak with. And they were very grateful, obviously, of Officer Yakey's efforts. But it was a year and 3 weeks after the bombing. Now, May 8, 1996, he was found in a farm field 32 miles due west of downtown Oklahoma City, a mile and a half west, northwest of the front gate of the El Reno prison. It was on Bureau of Prison farmland that was leased out to a local farmer in Canadian County, Oklahoma. And he was left for dead in a farm field. And it was just what a horrible and horrific way to leave this earth. And for a seven-year veteran of the Oklahoma City Police Department, for your listeners, if you want to IxQuick or start page the name Terry Yakey, Y-E-A-K-E-Y, just an incredible story. And there are a very dedicated group of us here in Oklahoma City. They're going to start the very first independent investigation of his case and bring truth to his case. His family, his children, and his siblings need to know what happened to him.
And what about the police there? I mean, are they concerned about it? Certainly the higher-ups were in on the cover-up, but what about the average policeman?
It's funny you mention that because you have Sam Gonzalez, who was the police chief at the time, who ended up being hired by the FBI a few years after his retirement, and about 3 years after the bombing, he started working for the FBI. And then you have, Bill Citti's our current police chief. And I forgot, M.T. Berry was the second police chief. He completely brushed off any type of conspiracy or alternative questions. And then we have William Citti, ironically, who was the one of the public information officers for the Oklahoma City Police Department. He is now our police chief. We caught, and Mr. Citti may not be appreciate this, but we caught him on 17 different, if not blatant misleading, lies to the local and the national media regarding the Oklahoma City bombing. He was the water boy for the federal government, the local water boy, and there's no other way to put it. He just flat out misled the public. So that's disturbing in and of itself, but we approached him on the 10-year anniversary of Officer Yakey's passing, which was May 8 of 2006, and he completely blew us off. He says, if you have any relevant evidence that would merit a full investigation of this, please present it to me. And I'm thinking, you know what? That's not our duty to do that. He's a police chief of the Oklahoma City Police Department. Why in the world isn't he lifting a finger or having some of his detectives help us out? They're asking us to bear the burden. And that's exactly the way we're treated by the press here. I know for a fact, and looking at one of the dossiers of Terry Yakey right in front of me now. I had this ready for the show. And Ken Raymond, one of the best journalists for the Oklahoman, and this is unbelievable. It was January of 2007. Approached him with a former co-host of our show, Andrew Griffin. We sat in his office for 15, 20 minutes. I take that back. It was in the lunchroom at the bottom level of the Oklahoma Publishing Company and didn't even have decency to bring us up to his office. He met us in the employee lunchroom, and he says, look, I can't touch this. We presented him with over 90% of the information needed to do a full two or three series article in the cold case files, and he refused to touch it. He says, anything to do with the Oklahoma City bombing, I'm not going to touch it. My editors and the supervising managers will not touch this. And he pretty much said, that's it, we're done. So that's the way we've been treated here, and that's the way the Oklahoma City Police Department is treating this case. They disrespected the family. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So For any of you out there that think that this is just some, hollow conspiracy theory, it isn't. We're dealing with human beings. We're dealing with bona fide facts, and we're asking for the truth. And we'd do it for your loved ones.
Well, tell us what you've come up with, because I know you've been at this for a long period of time. And certainly this is a very, very thoroughly researched, not by the government, because they were trying to cover up what happened, and certainly not by the local police, but there's been a dedicated group of people there in Oklahoma who wanted to find who was responsible and bring the murderers to justice.
Exactly. And I do want to defer the credit to the Oklahoma City Bombing Investigation Committee, OKCBombing.net, and former State Representative Charles Key, who's back in the State House doing a stellar job in a lot of great cases, including the Tenth Amendment and other issues. And then we have a bombing survivor by the name of V.Z. Lawton, and he was on the 8th floor of the Murrah Building that morning, working for the Office of HUD, Housing and Urban Development. Then we have a retired Air Force pilot by the name of George Wallace, who you met at the Freedom 21 conference. I think he may have approached you. And then we have also a millionaire businessman in town. So you're having four gentlemen from completely different parts of society, political stripes, aspirations, and so forth. They all wanted one thing. He says, look, we know we've been lied to by the federal government. And not so much the local office here. The field office here in Oklahoma City really did want to do a good job for the FBI, but it was the top lieutenants, the top people in Washington that actually spoke down to and looked down their nose at our district attorney's office, and we know that for a fact. One by the name of Jamie Gorelick, who oddly enough, tragically enough, was on the 9/11 Commission report. She had the audacity to put a signature on the final report. That certainly discredits their efforts, but we know for a fact that she barked the marching orders to the district attorney's office here on who was going to be pursued, what was going to be done, and what kind of resources, both manpower and financial, was going to be allocated to this case. It was tragic. And we know to this day, we have people either contact us through email or in person, whether we're out filling up our gas at the convenience store, at a shopping mall, or at a basketball game, and they say, look, we understand what you guys are doing. We appreciate it. I can't come on the record, but please keep doing what you're doing. They had relatives. And to put this in perspective, Dr. Stan, imagine your family member being a member of law enforcement, whether it be a civilian employee or a licensed to carry a sidearm and a badge. They had friends. They had family members. They had people that they've worked with for years, either brutally murdered or severely injured in this catastrophe. And then you've got a whole cachet of people coming in from Washington telling you what to do and how to investigate the case when you know full well what happened. That doesn't go away, even 14 years on. And that's the same with 9/11. We see the same tragedy with the 9/11 family members and victims' family members and survivors. My Lord, that's not the way to treat people. So, in fact, that's the subject of the feature-length film that I'm working on pertaining to the bombing. And we're going to approach it from the four different perspectives of these individuals of the committee, bring in a lot of credible information we've garnered from law enforcement and from attorneys, retired military officers, and retired state employees, and we're very proud to have all of these people help us.
Well, I think what you're doing is so important. We should never forget what happened that day. And it's so vitally important that people understand that there was an organized, orchestrated cover-up. They could not let the American people know the truth, but if they could get away with killing those people, they could blow up TWA 800 a year or so later, and then, of course, they could pull off what they did on September 11th. But 1,100 bodies disappeared that morning.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase. handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, and the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
You don't have to be in the military to enjoy military surplus savings. Right now at mainmilitary.com, you'll find savings on the top must-have military supplies. M10 gas masks for $12 or 3 for 30. Gas mask hoods, $4 or 3 for 10. Mask filters, $6 or 3 for 15. Save big on British chemical suits, only $12. Israeli gas masks, $20. Trigger finger gloves, $5 a pair or $36 a dozen. Snowshoe binding for $8 or $48 a dozen, and so much more. Even hard-to-find surplus items, all at surplus prices. Preparing the whole family has never been so affordable at MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com, one of the last surviving true surplus stores in the country. Shop now at MaineMilitary.com or call 877-608-0179. That's 877-608-0179 today.
This is Alex Jones with important news. I want to warn you about a deadly storm that's fast approaching. A storm that will affect you and everybody you know. Here's the story. The current administration is committed to nationalizing health care, giving 40 million new people free care. Now here's the bad news. The current system will almost be immediately overwhelmed by these new demands for free services and procedures. Medicare and Medicaid are already bankrupt. Many doctors are now leaving their practices frightened by the prospect of forced procedures. All this is creating a perfect storm, which could create unimaginable shortages in the healthcare services. Folks, it's time to be prepared for the worst. Our friends at Solutions from Science have recently come up with an emergency preparedness course that reveals how you can make powerful herbal medicines in the privacy of your own home. It's called Herbal Preparations and Natural Therapies, and it's flat out the best course of its kind. I recommend you visit this important new website at MakeHerbalMedicines.com. That's MakeHerbalMedicines.com. Or call toll-free, 877-327-0365.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly our guest today is Chris Emery. And Chris, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your website, how they can get your information.
Okay, thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity to do that. Two websites. The first one is with the Oklahoma City Bombing Investigation Committee. We still have the final report, the book that was written and released actually 3 weeks before 9/11. Took about 3.5 years to put the manuscript together. I was not part of that project, but I came on in June of 2001. It was released in August. I came on to help promote and distribute the book, and that is at okcbombing.net. The second website is of the radio show that we're very proud to be part of with the competing network, but we also air some of GCN's streams on there, and that is RadioFreeOklahoma.net. And if you go under the links button on that page, on the homepage, you will see in PDF as well as Microsoft Word format some of the documents that lay out what has actually come about and come forth since the Oklahoma City bombing occurred, mainly with a lot of the connections to 9/11. Now, this isn't stuff that we just dream up off of the Internet or, you know, just kind of loosely tie. I mean, this is bona fide, human, documented connections of people that actually came through, namely six of the hijackers, up to 4 days up to before the 9/11 occurred. And then we have, let's see here, who was the 19th hijacker? Massawi was here. He actually went to school at OU. I mean, the document lays out when he was here, who was actually his roommate. All of us remember Nicholas Berg, the gentleman that was beheaded right before the Abu Ghraib scandal broke. He was actually living in Norman and was a roommate. Not a roommate, but it was, actually met Massawi on the bus and allegedly shared a a laptop computer with him. We found out that was all completely false. It was something that a melodrama story that the university wanted to bring out, the FBI whipped up, based on complete false claims. And that's laid out in the document called Truth in Oklahoma, which is on the website. And that was also posted on 9/11truth.org, 9/11 blogger. It went viral worldwide the day after it was released back in July 18 of last year. And then, of course, the interview with a former host that was on GCN by the name of Jack Blood. He helped us break the story on his show. And that laid out the timeline of the witnesses that saw Muhammad Atta and four other hijackers 5 days, 4 days and 5 days before 9/11. And then the week after 9/11, a sixth hijacker. So you have a Atta and four guys and then a fifth guy in addition to Atta. 6 days after 9/11 happened in a bar here in Oklahoma City. So we don't think this is by just happenstance or just, you know, by pure luck. It's by design that Oklahoma City was actually a doormat for a lot of these guys. The terrorist cell went hot in 1995 to basically make sure that the Oklahoma City bombing carried forth. It went underground for a while and then went hot back in 2001, 3 days before 9/11. So We stumble across this stuff. People approach us and say, look, I saw this, this, and this. We check it out. We vet it out. There are bar receipts. There's other bona fide information. So anyway, to answer your question, that's how we're coming up to speed on all of this. But how does this tie into Oklahoma City? The tie-in is that Oklahoma City was only one part of an integral chain of disasters, basically problem, reaction, solution type of psychology. It was by design. McVeigh and Nichols, physically, financially, and mentally, we found out from so many sources, simply could not have pulled this caper off by themselves. I mean, it's ludicrous to think that. And for the Justice Department to rest on their laurels and to give themselves, thousands of dollars of raises and millions of dollars in their budget based on this case, and then to catapult themselves in a complete disaster with September of 2001, it just shows that it actually went backwards in their competence and their intelligence gathering versus forward. And if I may, that will be a segue to my co-host, who actually has some good information on the Fusion Center in Oklahoma City, if you want to tie into that before we wrap up the show.
Well, I'd very much like to, but Chris, before you go on, I just want to check with something you said to make sure I understood what you said. You said that after the September 11th attack, after Muhammad Atta and all of the hijackers had been killed, why mm-hmm. Muhammad Atta was seen in a bar in Oklahoma?
Well, it was actually, he wasn't seen. It was one of his colleagues. In fact, I'm looking, staring at the picture out of, he went, here's how we did it, Dr. Stan. The two witnesses that came forward, one in January of 2007, former employee of the Oklahoma City Bombing Memorial, the National Memorial Museum of all things. She'd worked there for a year and a half and saw Muhammad Atta and four of his colleagues come in the Thursday before 9/11. Remember, that happened on a Tuesday morning. And she remembers it was in the morning because that her husband and her brought her lunch yet. And normally he does that by 12 noon. She was a docent in the museum, a guide, and they were in the first group that came to this, basically this vestibule room or a gathering room where she explained or previewed what the museum was about. They were carrying on and speaking in a Middle Eastern dialect. First time in the year and a half that she was there that she had to tell somebody to shut up. And they were very offended by that, number one being a woman and obviously someone that didn't speak their language. They left in a huff. And it was that following Friday, the next day in the evening, we had a bartender see the same group in his bar. And luckily, he was able to save some of the bar receipts. This guy has a photographic memory. And most bartenders out there that may be listening, you have to remember your customers. He'd worked at this bar for 18 years off and on. He knew that he remembered who he saw. So anyway, that's the Friday before, and then they came in that Saturday night. Nobody saw them after 2:30 a.m. that Sunday, and then of course everything just played out. And Tuesday morning, all broke loose in downtown New York, and Lower Manhattan, and Washington, and Shanksville. The following Saturday, it was a gentleman by the name of, and he's the one that one of the only hijackers that wore glasses. I'm trying to get his name here, Marwan al-Shahihi. And he actually jumped over the bar, grabbed this bartender by the scruff of his neck, and he wanted to pick a fight with him. And there was a guy that actually came to the bar for 2.5 years before all of this took place that this bartender had to kick out. He was a bouncer, a bartender, dual roles. And this guy actually shook Muhammad Atta's hand the Friday before, also came in with Shahihi the Saturday after 9/11, had to pull Shahihi off of the bar And the bartender asked this guy, the first name of Stanley, he says, what's his problem? And he said, hey, he just lost some friends in the tragedy. And it was after that, he says, you will never, ever forget this face, the bartender told me. I knew who he was. I remember the glasses. I remember the goatee. He was in here the Saturday after 9/11, which completely it corroborates Paul Thompson's timeline and a lot of the other researchers. He says, look, you had at least two teams working on this, if not three. Some of them were stunt doubles of each other. Oklahoma City is bona fide proof of that. And my gosh, you know, we're looking at all this. Says, well, what do we do with this? And all you have to do is use it as you piece the puzzle together where these guys were, completely discredit the story that coming out of the Pentagon. And to see Dick Cheney and Bush and his cronies from the White House pawn off this melodramatic story to us, we know they're flat-out lying to us, and that certainly doesn't speak anything about their character, and we know that there's something else going on besides the official story.
Well, you certainly do. In fact, at least six of the people are alive and well somewhere in the Middle East.
Sure.
But our government doesn't want to address that. I mean, if they've died there in those plane attacks, how could they be alive and well? Well, don't ask stupid questions. Just accept what the government says, you know, and certainly go back and watch television and watch the NFL. Okay, fine. Who do we have? Who's going to talk about the fusion center?
That would be me.
That would be Kay Beach. I'm going to turn up.
Okay, fine. Hey, how are you?
Hello there, Dr. Monteith. Chris and I toured Oklahoma's Fusion Center Tuesday evening, and we graciously got a tour from the OSBI and probably about an hour and a half or 2 hours of discussion and giving us an overview of it.
That's the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation, which is a state version of the FBI.
And that is where the Fusion Center is housed. In some states, it's housed. They're housed in the National Guard armories and in various locations like that.
What is a Fusion Center for our listeners?
Well, a Fusion Center, and I'll give you Oklahoma's mission statement, but they're all pretty much the same. But they basically seek to connect seemingly unconnected pieces of information to identify, predict, and deter those who would harm the people in the state of Oklahoma, and they also seek to share information through all levels of government with the private sector.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to have to just hold. We'll be back here in just 3 minutes, and we'll go on with the story of the Fusion Center. Ladies and gentlemen, these are being established all across America. You know, I am sure to identify potential terrorists, well, the real terrorists, of course, in New York City and Washington, D.C. We'll be right back.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Did you know many vitamin and mineral supplements on the market are made from rocks and ground up shells? Think about that. Would you swallow a handful of shells you found at the beach? Our body wasn't designed to digest rocks and shells. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman, formulator of Choose for Health, a delicious-tasting, chewable dietary supplement derived from 16 fruits, vegetables, and antioxidants. Unlike hard-to-digest pills, Choose for Health is a convenient chewable which allows for better digestion. The choice is yours. Swallow rocks and shells to supplement your diet or a natural chewable product you can better digest. Choose for Health, the world's first superfruit, sea vegetable, antioxidant chewable. Whole food nutrition, not rocks and shells. 1-800-210-1922. Call now and receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows in the dark with its rechargeable LED lighting system, so it can be used as a night light or camp light.
Get the Berkey Light Purifier for only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Hi, Ed Schultz here. I want to tell you about BioGreenClean.com. BioGreenClean. It is absolutely the first heavy-duty, all-natural, multi-purpose cleaner that outperforms all competitive cleaners. BioGreenClean is the product. It's tough enough to take on virtually any cleaning challenge, yet gentle enough for your baby's toys. That's right. BioGreenClean is plant-derived and contains no harmful chemicals, solvents, and no annoying fragrances. If you want spectacular and unprecedented results from a revolutionary cleaning product, look no further. BioGreenClean is the cleaning product that you've been waiting for. It's that simple. It's super, and it's easy to order. Just go to www.biogreenclean.com. That's www.biogreenclean.com. BioGreenClean.com. Try it today. You'll be glad you did. BioGreenClean. It cleans anything.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Genesis Communication Network, and we were talking about the Fusion Center, so why don't we go ahead with that? What did you learn there at the Fusion Center?
Well, we learned that we probably have a very good OSBI director, and that served to highlight for me how faulty the system is, because I think we do have some real professionals at the OSBI and working in around Oklahoma in law enforcement. My problem is not with law enforcement. My problem is with what the federal government's doing and forcing them to do, forcing the states. If I say forcing, they're really encouraging them by funding, training, equipping these fusion centers and linking them all together with policy and you know, all sorts of methods to get them to participate. Every state has one, and the problem is you can't even tell who has the authority over them. I don't think they even know. It's really, they're changing rapidly, but the federal government seems to have the most of it. And that's a concern for states' rights, for retaining our ability to access our legislators and to have local government. So these are concerning on so many levels. I'm always at a loss at where to start. But the information sharing, it's not just state to state, state to national, but also international. A lot of our new technology, biometrics, and things of that nature are set on international standards. It's absolutely intended to be shared internationally. And so there's plenty to be concerned about.
And I think it's really, really what the point is, so well made. All of this is international. The effort to have everybody have an ID card, that's not just here in America. They're now going to actually issue ID cards to every citizen in India. You're talking about 1.2 billion people. Every home in the world is being marked by GPS locators. Certainly, the whole idea is to have a one-world monetary system. Eventually, everything will be electronics. You won't be able to buy or sell unless you have a number, the right number. And, of course, these things are happening before our very eyes. And most people just can't begin to connect the dots. But certainly, anything else you learned there at the Fusion Center that you'd like to tell our listeners about?
Well, I did not feel like I learned a whole lot about the fusion centers on the tour. We got their privacy policy, and it's worth noting that the 38-page privacy policy was the very last thing in the process of creating this fusion center that was done, and that is true in every state. It should have been the first thing that was done. It was the last. But my biggest issue with all of these forms of surveillance, the data surveillance, and like you were talking about the Real ID, and all of these things, is people need to understand that privacy just doesn't do it justice. This disrupts your free will. Being scrutinized and being surveilled and watched creates fear, and it directs your choices in such a way that you're separated from your free will. And your free will is where your life is. It's where you commune with your maker. It is your life. And that is what we are going to lose with all of these things.
One thing, if I may, go ahead, Doctor.
Go right ahead, Chris.
This fusion center here in Oklahoma City, I guess, is one of the better organized ones in the country, and there are 50, in various levels of organization and competency and so forth. Each state has their own, but 14 agencies actually work under the umbrella, and the OSBI has had this office here, at least we know, since February of '95, if not before that. The Oklahoma City bombing happened in April of 95, and it was very poignant that the assistant director that conducted the presentation the first hour said, after April of 95, the FBI did not share any intelligence with them, and up to and including September 11. So he says they were pretty much in a black hole, and we have a very competent FBI field office here in Oklahoma City. We had one employee stumble and say that there's 150 agents that work there. Now, back in 1995, I think it was closer to 100, but still, why weren't they sharing any information with the State Bureau of Investigation? And especially, and we know that there was intel collected on the Oklahoma City bombings as early as December of 94 on the 10 perpetrators that were staying here in Oklahoma City, and that's not even including Terry Nichols. It was Tim McVeigh and nine others that were staying at a motel about 5 miles southwest of downtown Oklahoma City, and they came and went as they pleased. It was unbelievable. But the point of that is that here we have this fusion center working with 14 agencies, local police officials and so forth, and they're getting most of their funding from the federal government, but most of their work is local and statewide. So there's really a disconnect on the priorities that are set here. It's not saying that they shouldn't work with the state, but they're getting their funding from the federal government, and Kay is right. They're being dictated. They're pretty much saying, look, wink, wink, this is what we need you to do. And it comes to a bottleneck where you really have to substantiate or justify the work that you're doing. And that's, we walked out of there, it's like, man, we came in here with more questions than we entered with. And it's really, I think it's an open book, and I look forward to going back to really have a sit down with some of these people. Say, look, if this is the way you're going to work, are you really, or do you have the best interests of the people of Oklahoma in mind?
Well, you know, it's very, very interesting. Oklahoma is some sort of a center. We have a video we carry called Jihad in America, and they have pictures in that, obviously shot by the FBI. In 1988, where Abdul Azzam, who headed al-Qaeda, organized al-Qaeda, is speaking in Oklahoma City, talking about how they're going to have to, you know, begin cutting off hands and feet, you know, to further the Islamic revolution. And then in 1989, they have another fellow. Now, that video was suppressed for many years. It is available now, but it wasn't really released to the public until after the 2001 bombing, although certainly it was completed in 1994. They tried to get it on nationwide television, and
sure,
they wouldn't allow it to go out. It's amazing. You were in the center of something.
Well, that's basically, there was a U.S. representative on I believe it was a House subcommittee on international terrorism. He said that Oklahoma City was second only to New York as the largest hub of Islamic fundamentalists in the United States. Now, I'm not disparaging Islamic fundamentalists. I mean, there's good and bad in every religious belief. But this was such a well-organized, both, I mean, we're talking bottom-up and top-down to the bottom as far as finance, brain power, and manpower. They were well-organized.
Yeah, and they were financed by our government. That's the amazing thing.
I'm sadly to say that is true. We found out from some other channels that in part is very true. But there was a multifaceted group, and getting back to previous segment,
Chris, we could go on, but we're going to have to cover this in our next program. We got a couple of more programs coming up with Chris Emery. So if you're a regular listener, just keep listening or go to our archives, and Chris will be with us on several more programs. But thanks very much for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you.
God bless both of you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-funded. We don't have any big benefactors, but we have a lot of little people out there across America who care about freedom, but a lot of them are hurting now, and some of the people who have been with us for 10 or 15 years have had to drop out. Simply, they've lost their jobs, and we still send them the newsletters, but we could certainly use your help if you could step forward and take their place. So our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We do have that DVD we mentioned. It's called I think it's in video form. It's called Jihad in America. It's a video. Jihad in America was released in 1994, shown one time, and then orders were put out, don't let the American people see it. Well, it will give you tremendous insight into the fact that they knew exactly what was going to happen at the first World Trade Center bombing, and they let it happen. They knew what was going to happen, in 2001 now, of course. This was actually completed in 1994, but it's very obvious they were monitoring the whole Islamic terrorist movement, everything that they did. But, of course, we can't let the American people know. They knew it was going to happen. We have two DVDs on the Oklahoma City bombing. We've got a great four-tape set on the Oklahoma City bombing. Interviews with Clark Brewster, who is Carol Howe's attorney. The government tried to send her to jail for the rest of her life, and they knew she was innocent. She was actually a patriot. She had infiltrated the Elohim City Christian Identity Movement, risked her life for her country. And her reward, they were going to send her to prison for life. A fascinating interview with her attorney. So much information on those two four-tape sets we have. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we've got all sorts of DVDs on what happened on September 11th, and you can actually get the special. I think you can get five DVDs, a special produced price if you ask for them. And then, of course, remember, of course, we're going to be having our all-day seminar here on October the 25th on the North Shore of Monterey Bay. We do hope you'll be able to come. We're having Catherine Albright, William Grigg, Ashley Moat from England, and, well, try to make it. Our number is 1-800-544-8927 for reservations.
It's no secret that Genesis Communications Network depends on listeners like you. Now you can do even more to hear Genesis shows in your area. Simply call your local radio stations and tell them about your favorite GCN programs. It's easy. Log on to GCNlive.com or call us toll free, 877-807-4048. Make a difference. Call your local stations and contact us through affiliate relations at GCNlive.com or call 877-807-4048. Call today.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carding to a